Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to yet another episode of the Sports Creative Showcase. I'm your host, Juan Morales. And as always on this show, I'm here to talk to the movers, the shakers, and the people making waves in the sports creative industry today. For episode number 5, we are joined by the talented, charming, and always fun to talk to Alyssa Morrison, who is currently a content creator down at the University of Florida for Gators football. In this episode, we talk about how becoming a social media coordinator and content creator for her brother's hockey team eventually led her to where she is today, working with one of the most talented creative teams in the country with Gators Football Creative, and how every lesson she's learned and every sacrifice she's made has led up to this moment in her career where she is finally doing what she loves. This is a great conversation with a really young, talented female creative that I was really excited to bring with you guys. So without further ado, let's get into the episode and I will catch you guys at the end of it. We're back here today. My name is Juan, as always, and I am here with a very special guest for today's episode, coming all the way from Gainesville, Florida. Alyssa Morrison of the Florida Gators is here joining me today on the podcast. She's an old friend, known her from the TMU days, and she's more than happy to come and chat with me today. So, Alyssa, I'm going to let you take it away. Introduce yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Let's hear it.
Okay, so hi, my name is Alyssa Morrison. I am a fourth year student at the University of Florida. I'm a media production management and technology major, and I'm also a creative for Gators football.
So obviously, just to give the viewers and people who are watching this or listening to this some background, you and I know each other from our days at Ryerson TMU. You were originally at, I'm going to say Ryerson just because that is what it was when we were there. And we met there and became good friends. And then you ended up going down to South Florida. But I want you to tell the story here of how we first met. And I think you know the story.
Oh my God.
So I want you to tell the story of how we first ran into each other and just eventually develop this friendship where now we just talk about sports creative stuff and muck around and hang out when I visit Florida. But I'll let you tell the story of how we met in that funny little moment.
Oh, well, when I first met Juan, actually, I don't even think you know this. I was like going through Instagram and you were on like the Discover page and I just saw like one of your graphics or something. And I was like, I'm going to be friends with him because I saw that you went to school at Ryerson. And I was like, I'm going to be friends with him and it's going to be my mission. And I think it might have been homecoming or like one of the opening nights for hockey. And I saw you in the elevator and I was like, oh my gosh, are you Juan? And you were like, yeah. And that's kind of like how the ball started rolling is I introduced myself and then we stayed connected ever since.
So pro tip for anybody who wants to know and learn how to network, just say hi to random people in the elevator. Like I just remember it was like I was shooting a basketball game and I'm going down the elevator and there's this girl next to me and she's kind of looking at me and I'm kind of like, I don't know who she is. And she's like, are you Juan? I was like so taken aback because I think it was like the first time anyone's like asked me that. But like needless to be said, I think that was a pretty good way of connecting with someone randomly in an elevator. I didn't even know you found me on Instagram, but I think that's just how things are these days. But anyways, getting back on track, you are obviously an incredibly talented photographer, graphic designer. I don't know if you're into video yet, but you're like a jack of all trades down in South Florida for the Gators. You're doing a lot of cool stuff. How's the season been so far for you guys? How are you guys been holding up?
Yeah, so this is actually my first season with Gators football. Last year I was with Learfield, which is like partnerships with Florida Gators. So it's kind of a way different sector, but still in the sports world. But this season has been a dream come true. And I don't think I could have had a better first season in football. On paper, we've had our ups and downs team-wise with players leaving, coming and going. We have a great record with our coach. He's new and we have a new coaching staff and literally a new facility. So everything's kind of brand new for everyone. But for me, it's just been such a dream come true. And my bosses and my peers have allowed me to just be creative and do my thing. And I'm just so grateful.
So I think that one thing we have in common is obviously we understand what it's like working in college sports. And you talked about it there, like athletes leave, people come in. Like there's a lot of things that come with working college sports that you don't necessarily get at the professional level. So I can really relate to that. But can you just take us through here for obviously people who don't know you? What's your journey been like? How did you get into this whole sports world of creativeness? You know, how did you get into it and how did you find yourself, you know, in Florida now and everything along those lines?
Yeah, so I would definitely have to go back maybe to when I was like 4 or 5 and my dad would take us my brother and I to an AHL team called the Hershey Bears, and we would go and just watch hockey all the time. And it would be like right after school, we'd drive to Hershey, Pennsylvania and watch hockey. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, like I would love to make something that are on these video boards. And that's just something that always stuck with me. But I was grown up in like a very sports oriented family. So going forward, my senior year of high school, my brother made a junior hockey team in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which was an hour and a half away from me. And this is before he even had his driver's license. My parents were working. So really the only way for him to get there was me to drive him. And because it was so far away and the time of his practice, we both had to leave school early. So we were kind of brainstorming as a family, like, all right, how can we get both of you out of school? So he was already excused because of hockey, but how am I going to get out? And I got an internship as the social media coordinator at like age 17 with his hockey team. And that's kind of like where I started. And I realized I really like this. There were a lot of ups and downs throughout that season of my life. But I think I realized like I'm super passionate about creating and sports. And then from there, I went to school up in Canada at Ryerson. And obviously, you know that sport media is super prestigious up at Ryerson or TMU now. And that's kind of what drove me to go there. Spent my first 2 years of undergrad there. And then with COVID, I was kind of stuck between, you know, international tuition, honestly, and then not having the hands-on experience that I needed. So I did like a little Google search. I was like, what schools are open during COVID? And pretty much all the schools down in Florida were open. So I applied to UCF, USF, and then UF. And then out of the three, I knew that UF would have the better sports opportunities for me. And that's why I'm here, to live the dream.
That's awesome, though, like the progression from, you know, working with your brother's team as a social media coordinator, and it was an internship. I'm assuming you probably weren't paid, and if you were, it wasn't a lot. But I think that's a really good example for a lot of people to understand, like, you can take opportunities wherever they come. Like, you don't necessarily have to get your first job with an NFL team or your first job with an NHL team, you know, or even a college NCAA team. You know, you can do something right in your backyard. If someone in your family plays sports, go and create something with that. And I think that was a cool experience that you went through. And I remember you would send me things here and there, and I would see you post all these graphics of that hockey team. And it's crazy for me to like look back now and see where you're at now, making content for an NCAA Division I program, which is incredible. What were some of like the things you learned when you were interning with your brother's team there, and how did you build that up to eventually getting to University of Florida?
Yeah, so I think honestly, I feel like my journey has been super unconventional in the sense where I never truly know how I'm going to get it done, but I know I'm going to get it done. And that's the biggest takeaway that I've had is if I want to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure out how to do it. So when I was with CPP, that was the team at the time, I didn't know how to make graphics. I didn't really know how to take any photos. I had like a little camera. And also at the same time, I was in yearbook, like at my school. So I was just kind of trying to figure out and learn what I could kind of how I could grow my skill set. So I feel like YouTube was definitely a big help and just like exploring on my own. But I would say the biggest thing that I've learned is figure it out. And there's always a way. There's always a way to make it work. And honestly, at first I wasn't even using Photoshop. I was using like apps on my phone to make graphics for his team. And then as I progressed, I realized, all right, this is not gonna cut it. So I would say to just like be open to learning. And that's like, I think one of my biggest strengths is I'm always eager to learn more and more and find a more efficient way to get things done.
That's good. I think it's like that whole thing, like always a student, never like a master. Like you always want to keep learning it. And I think that's what takes people off a long way. It's like everyone I know who's successful in this industry or is getting into it and is experiencing success, they're always wanting to learn. And I think like if you have that mentality of like, I always want to learn something new, I always want to try something different every time, like that's going to take you a long way because you're adapting and you're evolving with the times. From, you know, working with your brother's hockey team, you go to Ryerson, you know, pandemic, everything happens, and then you get accepted to UF and you're American, so it was easy for you to make that transition down. How did you get involved with their athletic program? Because I said this before the call, but you have gotten to do something that I myself have not gotten to do, and that is work with an NCAA program. And those are very hard jobs to get, because I think as the creative industry grows in sports, more and more people want to do what we do. So I think the jobs that are in the NCAA system are so coveted. How did you got accepted to school? How did you reach out? How did you get the job? What did you bring to the table in order for the Gators creative department to bring you on?
Yeah. So I actually was on LinkedIn and I saw a job opportunity in sales at this place called Gator Sports Properties. And I was like, oh, like, I don't want to work in sales, but I definitely want to get connected to this company because obviously they have some sort of in that I don't know about, but I'm going to know about. So I reached out to, his name's Andrew, and he was like, yeah, I'd love to set up a call. And we had a phone call and he was telling me that there is a social side to that organization, and who runs it was Andy Hamilton, who I have been following on Instagram for like 3 years. So it was such a full circle moment where I was like, oh my gosh, Andy, like, yes, I know Andy, which is crazy.
It's always one of those, and like, I know you. You might not know me, yes, but yes, I know yes. you. Yeah.
Exactly. So I reached out to Andy and we got on a Zoom call and I got to pick his brain. And I honestly just wanted to get to know him more and get to know how he got to where he is today and how he got to grow his skill set. And then at the end of the call, he was like, do you want to come in and shadow me? And I was like, yes, I do. I do want to come in and shadow you. I went in, and then I think it was like the next day or two, they were like, we'd like to offer you like a part-time position with us, kind of like you as my assistant and helping out here and there with graphics. And I was like, yes, like I would freaking love to. So that's how I got my initial in, was with Gator Sports Properties. And like I said, they do more partnerships. So this was a completely different arena that I was used to, because I'm used to like Hero Graphics and like hype videos and stuff like that.
Instead, now whereas you're working here, with like the, you know, trying to get sponsors, trying to get people into the door, you know, stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So a lot of my stuff was like on the sponsored side, which I've never really tapped into before, but I'm so grateful I did, because now I know like different regulations that I would have never even thought of before. And I know how to make graphics without any like photo content, and it's just words. And I think that like helped me grow my skills that I didn't even know I needed going forward. And then after that year, I worked with football, basketball, baseball, and then a little bit of gymnastics, doing like signage and stuff. And then I applied for the internship with Gators Football, which is who I'm working for now. And that was also just like a really quick transition between going from GSP to Gators Football, because really it was the interview, and then we got into a little bit of off season, but then training camp, and then straight into season. So that's kind of how I got my in with the team.
You got thrown straight into the blender, which is, I think, something we're all used to, is just getting thrown in the fire and seeing, you know, they're going to make you swim before you can walk with that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's cool to hear that, like, even though the first place you were at wasn't necessarily the main opportunity you were looking for, like, you know, working in partnerships, and it is very different. But I think you obviously, like, hearing what you said, you learned so much from that experience, and it's probably skills that, you know, when you have to make a graphic now and you don't want to use a player or you can't use a player, you know exactly how to do it, which before you may have never learned that skill. So I think it's really cool how that, you know, the buildup between where you started, where you were, and where you're at now, it just developed you into exactly where you were supposed to be, which is right now with UF Football Creative. And, you know, it's such an interesting experience to work in, like, NCAA football. It is such a show. It is such like a, there's such like a theater to it. And I love that about like college football. It is purely like entertainment value. Like, don't get me wrong, the football is great, but like it is ridiculous that like the level of football and the level of money that is put into these teams and these stadiums and matches is even better than the NFL counterpart. And obviously that is a cool experience to, you know, you having at this point, you know, early on in your career to witness that, to be in these arenas and these games and these environments. What's it been like? Just give me what has it been like for the last year and a half to go and create content with a really talented football team with a creative team that clearly you get along with. What's that experience been like?
I feel so lucky, first of all, and grateful. And a lot of games, like, I have to pinch myself because I'm like, there's no way this is real life right now. Obviously, like you said, being at an NCAA D1 school is like insane in itself, but also being in the SEC is just a whole different beast that I don't think I'll ever like have another experience that lives up to that. My first ever college football game was Florida Gators versus FAU, and that was their first game last year, and this is kind of when I accepted that part-time job, and I like had to hold my breath because I was like, wow, this is insane, with the band and the fire and the fireworks and like all the music blasting and how many people go into this huge production. Like you said, it's entertainment, and these people come to feel a part of something bigger than them. So sitting as a fan for that one game, I was like, wow, this is insane. And this was the first time like I really felt a part of my school as a student. And then going from the stands to the sidelines, it's just crazy. Like, I can't even hear for the last 2 hours of the game because just the crowd's so loud and there's music blasting, but it's just insane. I think the best word I could use to describe it is surreal. Like, you have to live it to know it. And SEC football down south, it's like just this whole different world of like fans and insanity.
So as a creative, as a photographer, because during the games you're obviously shooting the game as a photographer, how do you stay dialed in? Because like you said, like, there's fireworks and fire machines and crowd and the band, and we all saw that drone shot, and we're gonna get into that down the line, but like, we all saw the experience of what it's like to be in the swamp, as you guys called it. How do you as a creative kind of like shut all that out and just get focused on doing your job? Because there's so many distractions, it's overwhelming. Like, I experienced it when I was like at the Stanley Cup final, and you know, it is very hard when you're at this event, this entertainment event, with so many different people, so many different things going on around you, literal fire around you. Like, what, how do you stay focused? How do you, like, you know, let yourself enjoy the moment but then get right back to doing your thing as a creative on the sideline?
I would say how I go into it is I put myself in the athlete's shoes. Like, you're there for a job and there for a reason. So even though there's so much going on, at the same time, you really only have 3 or 4 hours to capture these moments, and there's no going back. So you really have to make sure you're staying focused so you don't miss the touchdown, or you don't miss an interception, or you don't miss something that is never going to be replaced. So I think for me, I just go into it as like, I'm so grateful to be here. Like, don't forget that. That's the most important thing, because there's so many people that would kill to be in your spot. And then also do your job. Mm-hmm. Just do your job and stay locked in, because this is a once in a lifetime thing, really.
So can you give us a little bit of like an idea as to what your role is and what you do, and then we'll get into like, you know, the day to day, but what exactly is it you do for, you know, I said you were a graphic designer, I said you did photography, but you know, for the viewers, tell me what your job is. What do you do?
So if you notice in my bio on Instagram, it says Gators Football Creative. I don't really have like a designated role. I applied and I got the social position, but luckily everyone's kind of adopted me in their different areas. So like, I've been learning more video, I've been learning more photo. On game days, I run the stories and I capture content. Sometimes it ends up on the main feed, sometimes it doesn't, but for the most part, I'm running stories, and then the TikTok. So I would say game days, it's like stories. Then during the week, I usually do Wallpaper Wednesdays. I kind of pick up with more of like the recruiting graphics too. That's like mainly behind the scenes, because that's going directly to certain players and not really on social. So there's a lot of internal work that I get to do that doesn't necessarily make it onto a feed, but still super important. So I've been tapping more into like the recruiting world. And yeah, now I'm trying to get more into video. That's like my main focus by the end of the year, is get really goated at video so I can carry that over to next season.
So when, you know, you're clearly able to do a lot of things. You're a very much a jack of all trades. You can run a social, like, you know how to run social, which is not an easy thing. Like, I don't fucking know. Like, I sometimes come up with good captions, you know? I had 3 captions posted on the NHL Twitter. It's great. But I don't, you know, that is such a hard thing on its own, running social. But you're also a photographer. You're also a graphic designer. And you're also getting into video. How important has it been for you to, like, learn so many skills? And how has it helped you? Because I think you and I are very similar. Because where I did video and graphics, you were doing photo and graphics to kind of build your base. How has it, you know, tell me about how... We talked about, you know, always learning. Why is it important to you to be able to do all these different things?
Yeah, I think being versatile is one of the greatest characteristics you could have as a creative. I always put myself in the mindset of, like, if someone asks me or needs me to do something, I want to be able to say yes, or at least I know enough about it where I can figure it out. So for me also, it's like, I know that I have these skills in one area and I know that they can expand. They're very transferable. So a lot of my mindset is like, I want to learn as much as I can so then I can share that with the rest of the world. Also just to be a reliable creative. I think that's something that everyone's looking for in someone that they hire, is like making sure that they can fulfill any type of role. So for me, it's also... sick as fuck.
No, that's
to know all this stuff.
Yeah, no, it's cool and it's fun to know and to learn and to be able to do all these different things. Like, I'm just getting into photography, like, in the last year, because, like, a lot of people, you know, most people know me as just a video person, and, like, now I'm taking photos and stuff, and, like, I'm enjoying it, and it's cool to be able to do all this. And, you know, it's, there's skills that are especially really valuable now, no matter if you work in sports or not. Knowing how to use a camera can make you a lot of money, you know. Knowing how to use Photoshop can make you a lot of money. So it's obviously really important to be multiversal, and it is, like you said, sick as fuck to be able to do all these things. Because at the end of the day, this is your job, is to go to sports games. And this is something that bewilders me a lot when I think about my career. Our job is to work at capturing people running with a ball or skating with a puck and make it look cool. That's our job.
I feel so lucky that I'm surrounded by such amazing creatives. Like, there are so many people that make this work for Gators football. And so I feel like it would be such a waste to not learn from them. So not only is it important to be versatile, but if you're in a position where you can learn from different people like Juan or like my people over at Gators football, then you're wasting that opportunity. Like, make those connections, because those people have so much knowledge to give to you. And that's like one of the greatest things in an experience.
I love that, because
okay, that was all.
No, that's great. I love that, because this is something that, like, I've really focused on during the pandemic over the last 3 or 2 years now. It's weird to say that the pandemic was almost 3 years ago. I feel old. But, like, I think I've learned that, like, community and surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded, have, you know, who want to learn and want to teach and give information, absorb information, it's important, because you will only learn as much as the people you're next to. You're only going to get as good as the people, you know. You push each other, you learn from each other. And I think it's a really good opportunity to develop that community, whether it's your coworkers, whether it's, you know, friends you go out to the streets to shoot photography with, whatever it is. I think it's obviously you learn from so many people, and those people will probably learn from you. And you'd be surprised at the amount of people that, like, I say, oh, I really admire your work, and then they'll come back to me and say, oh, I want to learn this from you, or vice versa. I'm trying to learn something from someone who's always looked up to me. It's really interesting to see how that dynamic, and it can improve you as a creative. And I think working in sports as a creative, there's very much like, I don't want to use the word cult. It's not, but it's like when you work in sports, you know what other people are going through. Like, if you know, you know.
Yeah. Right?
Like, even though you and I don't work in the same sport, we don't live in the same country, we do different things, you and I know the struggles we face. Like, I think, you know, we text each other every once in a while, like, hey, are you good? What's going on? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So I think it's funny, because there is that whole kind of mentality of, like, you might not know any, you might not know the person personally, but you know when you meet them, like, you just connect because you just know the vibes, right?
For sure. I feel like that you could, like, know someone on Instagram or just follow them, and then you meet them in real life and you're like, oh my gosh, like, I know you. Mm-hmm. Like, we have this immediate connection.
Yeah.
It's like this, like, next week we have Thanksgiving and we have a game the day after. So a lot of us are not going home and we're not seeing our families. And that sacrifice that only people who work in sports or who play sports recognize, it's like kind of a bonding experience.
Of course. No, absolutely. Like, I'm going to be in New Year's in Boston for New Year's for the Winter Classic with my coworkers. I'm not going to be at home. This is my first New Year's that I'm not going to be with my family in my, which it, actually it's like, mm-hmm. at least not in the country, which is really weird for me, but it is like you're spending with people who know the vibes. And I actually want to touch on this really quickly before we go on to your week to like your week in the life. Sacrifices are something that as people who work in sports, we have to make a lot of them. I think one of the first things I remember when I was in sport media, and you might have been told the same thing, I don't know, but the whole concept of like, you're going to have to give up your weekends, you're going to have to give up some weeknights, you're going to have to give up some holidays, you're going to miss birthdays, you're going to miss things. And I think you exemplify a really big part of like the sacrifices you have to make to pursue this dream and you know, this career path. Obviously, leaving Maryland from, you know, right after high school, going to a new country in Toronto, a crazy, crazy sacrifice, being away from your family and being in a whole other country, not knowing anybody, and then having to make another sacrifice, deciding to, you know what, I have to take a leap here, leave Ryerson where I've been with for 2 years and go down to South Florida. And that's still not close to being with your family. And you just mentioned you're not going to be home for Thanksgiving. Can you talk a little bit about like, you know, the sacrifices that you've gone through and why those sacrifices are worth it in the end in order to pursue what you want?
I think that with anything, if you love it or you're passionate about it, sacrifice is necessary. For me, like you said, I'm sacrificing being with my family, seeing them all the time. I'm sacrificing a lot of weekends off. I'm sacrificing like my future family, because I know that this is gonna affect my time with them. But I think at the end of the day, that sacrifice all kind of accumulates to this really amazing thing, which is sports. And I love sports because everyone's working towards like one common goal, and being a part of a team is kind of makes up for where it lacks. But yeah, I think that my sacrifices, I wouldn't trade them for the world. I know I would love to see my parents more and hug them and squeeze them. I would love to see my brother. But at the same time, I am so happy where I am. As much as I miss my friends at Ryerson, like, I'm making new friends here and I'm still keeping in touch with my old friends. And like, we still get to talk all the time, which is the best thing ever. So I think that even though there is sacrifice, there's such a beautiful thing on the other side. And for me, I'm like living my dreams right now, and there's nothing better.
And that's, I think that's it. Like what you just mentioned there, like you get to live your dreams. Like the sacrifices are worth it because of those moments. Like, you know what I mean? Like an example for me, like I got to go to the Stanley Cup final, and even though I was away for 17 days and it was a grind, like being there at the end of it, seeing those players celebrate, being in that environment makes it all worth it. And I'm sure like when you see the guys out on the field doing their work and like being in that atmosphere, being in those stadiums, those loud raucous like arenas, it's all worth it at the end of the day. And I think, again, that's also something I think all sports people have in common, not just like the if you know, but you all understand like you're working towards a common goal, and it's bigger than yourself, right?
Right. And I think too, when you're young and you're a young sports creative in this industry, realize that the sacrifices of staying up late to make sure you get your homework done, not going out and not seeing your friends and kind of missing those fun opportunities, it's all worth it because you're working towards something that is just so different from what anyone else is going to experience. And sometimes, I don't know, I kick myself. I'm like, man, like, I really don't want to stay up till 3 a.m. to finish this graphic, but I know I have a deadline tomorrow, and I know that I have another homework assignment after this. But it's like, after all said and done, it's so worth it. And now I have a cool graphic and my homework's done. Great. But I think that's like a big thing. Like when you're young, just realize that it gets better when you get older. But like right now, I'm in the trenches. I'm in shambles with school. Like I'm about to hit finals. But I just have to keep reminding myself, like, it's going to be worth it. You're going to get a degree soon. You're working for your dream team. Like, it's worth it.
Yeah. And I was there. I remember that grind. I remember my fourth year working 3 different jobs and also doing a thesis project and like feeling like I didn't have a social life really in my fourth year. But like, You know, I think objectively, the people who work in sports creative all have that mindset of like putting your head down, you're in the trenches. I think that's a really good way of describing it. I'm going to copyright that. Not copyright it. I'm gonna write that down, in the trenches. I like that. But like, it is that feeling of like, you know, you're putting your head down and you're like fucking grinding it out to make it somewhere. But I think at the end of the day, like, the people who really want it, the people who really want to be here in this industry, the people who really want those jobs will get them because of that persistence. So speaking of the trenches, speaking of, you know, the grind, the everyday, like being in that environment and, you know, working our asses off for what we do, take me through a week in the life as a creative for an NCAA football creative team. Take me through the week. Take me through the, you know, from the Monday until game day. What does it look like? What are you doing? What are you prepping? What are you making? What's the vibe?
Well, I think the coolest answer that I could give is there is none, because it's different every week. If you win a game, obviously your fan base is super hyped for the following week. If you lose a game, it's a little bit different. Our mentality is we don't really go ghost mode on our socials. So there's still work to be done, but it definitely changes how we put content out. So that's one thing, one dependent. Another thing is sometimes we have SEC all offense team of the week. Like sometimes we get different awards that they just pop up and I mean, we kind of expect them, but we don't know until that week. Some weeks we're ranked, some weeks we're not. Some weeks we're playing an SEC team, some weeks we're playing our rival. So it really just depends on that end. And then in the recruiting side of it, sometimes we have visits from different recruits around the country, which that alters like if we have photo shoots or if we have kind of different opportunities for them around the facility and the stadium. Another thing is like holidays and stuff like that. We just went through like Halloween, we're about to go through Thanksgiving. Those pieces of content really depend on what we're looking for that week. And then of course we have a bye week. So how do you fill a bye week? And for us this year, we took that bye week after a loss. So it was a little bit difficult. And then another thing to think about is on Sundays, the NFL teams play and we have a lot of guys in the NFL in the league. So we're following them and covering them. But for me personally, I think my main priority, and shout out to my mom for listening, my main priority is school. I have class every day. I have assignments due every day. So I have assignments due on Saturday, thanks to my professor who actually doesn't want me to live my life. But
I hope he doesn't listen to this. I'm kidding.
No, please listen. take out your assignments for Saturdays in the swamp. What are we doing? But for me, Monday through Friday, definitely I have school every day. I have assignments due every day. I'll usually go to a coffee shop at least once every day to get those assignments done, because I have to study and do extra work for that. I try and go into the office at least 3 out of 5 days of that week. And then Saturdays have been kind of like 8-9 hour days when we have home games, away games. I'll be traveling to Nashville on Friday. Ooh. So that will be like a cool experience, but that's like, you know, a completely different thing for away games. So it kind of just depends on the week. So week to week, I don't have a great answer, but that's kind of what sports is. You never know.
Yeah. I think that's the fun thing about working in this industry is that, like, and I've said this before to several people and probably on this YouTube channel and probably on a podcast episode, but like, I love the fact that not every day is the same. Not every week is the same. I love the fact it's a blessing and a curse that every day is different, because it keeps you on your toes. It keeps you, you know, you don't really know what's coming, and it's always exciting to do something different and new every day. I think the other downside of it is like, you can't really plan your life out sometimes. And it's like, I have to bail on plans. I can't see, you know, I can't go home to see my parents, or I can't hang out with my friends, or, you know, whatever. Like sometimes it gets in the way, but I think like I would much rather be working this lifestyle of every day is different, every week is different, than working a 9-to-5 job at the desk all day. Not to say there's anything wrong with that. If that's what you want in life, that's great. But I know for me, and you probably relate, like just having that variety keeps light. It's like variety is the spice of life. And I think it's very accurate in this perspective.
Absolutely. I would totally agree with you.
So now we went through the week, and now we're just going to condense it a little more. Take me through a game day. Take me through a UF game day You're about to, you know, you wake up in the morning. What's your routine? Give it to me like an athlete, because I think creatives and athletes have routines and it makes them like very like similar. What do you do on a game day? What's your routine? When do you get to the field? What are you setting up? What's your from top to bottom, start of day, end of day on a game day? What are you doing?
So for me, who helped run like the Instagram stories, I wake up, I say thank you Jesus for this opportunity, and I like do my normal routine where I like brush my teeth, you know, do my hair, do my makeup, all that stuff. I usually have my outfit laid out the day before, so I'll put that on. For me, I usually meet up with my photo friends, and we all drive over to the stadium together, and that's kind of been the highlight of my season, because just getting to spend time with them and growing our relationship has been the best thing ever. So we'll drive over to the stadium, I'll walk over to the facility. We'll kind of just like hang around the office for a little bit until it's time to go. We have this thing called Gator Walk where the players, they drive from the hotel, they get off the buses, and they walk down this strip called University. And this is where they get to high five all the fans and give autographs and hug their family members and all that. That's kind of where it starts for me. That's where I'll start taking photos of the players. A lot of their game day fits are usually showcased during this time. So that's a big thing to capture. And kind of when it's like halfway done Gator Walk on the road, I'll actually run inside the stadium, inside like the swamp, if you will. And the rest of the players that walk down into the swamp, I'll get those pictures too. And then after that, I'll meet in like the war room. And I'll put it into Photoshop or I'll put into Slate and brand all the content, kind of take all the pictures that I took. And then actually, there's another girl named Alyssa who is also in my position. She's like the best ever. And she does a lot of video phone content that she'll brand, and we'll kind of pick out which ones will make it to our story. And then after that, we get a little bit of time before pregame. So we'll usually go and eat. Then we do pregame, and that's when the guys come out and they warm up. They'll wear different things. So like last game, I think it was Veterans Appreciation. So they had like military stuff on. We had Title IX stuff for the week before. So kind of depends. And we try and showcase what we're highlighting that week. And then it's kickoff. And usually for me, I will either be in the tunnel, and you could probably see this in the drone footage that we're going to talk about later, but all the guys, before they run out, they tap the gator head and then they run out. So that's like something cool that I usually try and get. And if I'm not doing that, then I'll be at the other side on the other end zone waiting for them to all run over, because they'll all come over in a group and hype the fans up, but they'll also get on their knee and pray, which I think is like such a special moment. And then we do kickoff, and then from there on, I think I black out because I really just try and focus on what's going on. You really can't predict what's going to happen because it's so unpredictable. Every team this season that we've played, I think we've had one of the hardest schedules in college football this season. So we never really know going into it what's going to happen. But yeah, so then we'll do the game. And throughout the game, I'll flip content. So after a big touchdown, a big play, a big sack, I'll run into the war room, flip the content for photos, and then same thing with Alyssa. If she has any good video content, we'll use that, and it'll all get posted. But again, it's so different. Like when we had our CBS game, we can't post any videos of plays. When we're playing an SEC game, we have like limited videos of what we can post. And certain things, it kind of just depends on the TV provider that we're playing for that week, but for the most part, we're just making content and flipping it on the fly. So that's kind of it.
That's a very packed day. And I know what the game day vibe is like, but I think you broke it down really well. It's also really interesting. I never thought about the fact that you guys are limited by the broadcaster and depending on the game. That's really interesting. Something I actually never heard of, and that's actually really, really intriguing to hear from like a social strategy standpoint. Like, how do you like get around that? But I think obviously with the photography you guys do, you guys are able to kind of circumvent that.
Hope you guys are enjoying this episode of the Sports Creative Showcase with Alyssa Morrison and myself. No, this is not an ad read. This is me coming in during the post-production. This is future editor Juan because something else went wrong in this episode. So if you guys are familiar with the show, you clearly know that last episode with Peter Sorellis, I lost a card with my audio on it. So I had to improvise and come in and do my questions when I was doing the post-production process. This time, it technically wasn't my fault. My camera, for some reason, didn't record this part on my end, even though I said it was recording. So when I came in to edit this, I noticed that I had all these answers from Alyssa and no footage for myself, including my audio. So here I am again in post-production, saving the day, because her answers in this part of the podcast were some of my favorite. Again, thankfully, her part was recorded on her end, so I have all her questions, all her audio, no problem. It was just on my end as well. So the following audio will be from the original Zoom call that me and her did. The audio quality isn't going to be as good as what you've been hearing up until this point, but I just truly didn't want to give up this part of the podcast because me and her got into a really good back and forth about working directly with players, developing relationships with them, and also we touch upon that very, very controversial yet unbelievable drone shot that UF did. For the next little bit, bear with me with the Zoom audio quality on my end, but again, I didn't want to get rid of this part of the podcast. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Let's hop right back into it. When it comes to, you know, you've been there for a year and a half, what is the most memorable thing you've captured? What's the one thing that sticks in your mind that's like, this is the best thing I've captured so far working for the Gators?
Whoa, that is such a good question. I've never been asked that. There's this one picture and it's right there, if you can see. I don't know if I'll get it in my camera, but there's this one picture that I took and his name is Chief Borders and I love Chief. He is such just like a ray of sunshine, super positive all the time, and he is one of the players that like you just know you're always going to get something good from him. So when I was capturing spring game, which was maybe April, May, this was like orange and blue team, like no stakes, it was just for fun, and this is when like all the students get to come and watch. And actually, this was when our coach kind of debuted his team and his new coaching staff. But I got to take that photo, and I'll send it to you so you can insert here. And it was just such a lucky shot where it was Chief and then the flag behind him. And that this is kind of the point in my career where I feel like I'm more confident in my photography skills. And so I posted it, and I sent it to him and all that. And then I think in the next few days, he made it his Instagram profile picture. And that was like such a cool moment for me. And not only are we friends like off the field, but I think just seeing that it hit more than just the likes and more than just the comments on social. That was like such a cool moment for me. And it's a game that like we were just having fun. All of us, we were all just having fun. Even covering it was just for fun. And this is when, you know, I was in the midst of my interviews with Gators football. So I wasn't even with the team yet. And it just kind of reminded me, like, you're on the right path.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that that moment kind of reminded you of that. And I think also it's like, that's the thing about working in the college university sports system. It's like these athletes are just as old as you most of the time. Like, you're pretty relatable. And like, that's the one thing that's always stuck with me through when I was with Ryerson and like, with the whole department and just the women's basketball team. Like, I got to be friends with them. I got to know them. I got to have fun with them. And they appreciate you doing this as much as you appreciate them letting you capture them. So I think that's a really, really cool concept about working in sports in the college level, no matter where you're at. And I had a few conversations with people when we talk about, like, you know, I think one question I get asked a lot is like, how do you get players and athletes to react to the camera? How do you get them to engage the person who's capturing the content? Because that's when it becomes really personable. When you realize that these guys are just people, you know, clearly you're able to develop. And I, same with me with what I did at Ryerson, develop a relationship with these athletes. How important is it to you to like be good friends with these guys and, you know, highlight them in a certain way that will make them like show, like, why is it important to develop these good relationships with these athletes and how does that impact your content afterwards?
Right. I believe that it's important to build good relationships with everyone, not just the athletes. I think that even the coaches, making sure that you're known on the sidelines, it's so important. But as for the athletes and making sure that you build this comfortability, it's vital to have good content. And I think once you have that foundation of trust between you and the athlete, it just becomes so much easier. I think for me in my process, I feel like I'm a very outgoing person. I'm very personable, but I like to say, hi, my name is, shake your hand. And it's no different for different players.
Anymore, but I think that in the elevator, or was that just a one time
thing? That was a one time thing. But definitely making it known who you are and what your role is. Now the guys, they know what I can make and what I can do with the photos that I take and the videos. And I think they're actually excited kind of to see me, not to see me, but like to see that I'm there capturing for them. I think sometimes it can be like, I don't want to speak for any athletes, but I think sometimes it can be like daunting when you have so many cameras in your face, but having the familiar ones gives that comfortability and they're more likely to speak to you and give honest answers, and less of the cookie cutter, you know, stuff that they've been giving to everyone. So I think that's, it's super important. And I've definitely learned that here, cause I didn't really get to do too much up at Ryerson. But down here, getting to know everyone. And the thing is, you see them all the time. And you know this with like athletes, you're seeing them more than your family. So you kind of have no choice but to get close with them.
Yeah, no. And I think, like you said, you get to avoid all those cookie cutter answers. You get to avoid all the cliches. And I think in my experience, like I did that short documentary on the women's basketball team that I posted a little while ago. And a lot of people were asking me like, how did you get them to open up like that? And my whole response is, and I think it's, you know, the more time you spend with Gators and say you're there for another year or two, like you're going to find like when you develop that relationship and that, you know, honesty and that level of like trust within each other, because like, you know, they're trusting you a lot to put them in a spotlight and show them in a really good way. And I think people forget that like they're people too. Like they don't want to get blasted on social media. They want you to represent them in a good light. And so what I had to do, obviously, that was like 3 years of being with the team, getting to know the coach, getting to know the players, and developing not just like a working relationship where like, you know, I'm here to take photos of you, you just do your thing.
Yeah.
But it's become now a thing of like, I'm friends with them. I'll, you know, shoot the shit with them. I'll chirp them a little bit. A couple of them are really like some of my closest friends now. And I think the rewards of that is like when I sit them down to have a serious interview, even though the outtakes of that entire documentary is them laughing because I'm just... It's hard. They're like, I don't like sitting with you talking about this because it makes me laugh. But like, it allows them to be way more genuine with their personalities. And it's even like on the field, like the guys will look at the camera, they'll throw up a little peace sign. They'll like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I 100% get why that's important part to you. And I love the fact that you've developed that relationship and that camaraderie with the athletes. Because I think that is a really underrated thing that a lot of people forget to do. And they're just there to shoot the game. And I'm like, no, you have to be a human being, be social.
Yeah, it's a big part of the job that is kind of like an unwritten a skill, is to make sure you're being personable. And I think for me as well, being a female in the sports world, there's such an important line between professionalism and being like friends. So that's taken so much learning. I think from my very first internship to now, like I've learned so much and I've applied it. So now it's I know how it goes and I know what I need to say and what I shouldn't say and how I should act. And, you know, you build those skills as you grow as a creative, but I think at the end of the day, it's just be kind to everyone and just realize that everyone is going through what you're going through too. Like we're all human and we're walking through this life. So just be kind to people.
Been here for a year and a half now with Gators. What is the biggest lesson you've learned biggest lesson or biggest challenge you've overcome or had to learn over the last year and a half? Whether that's like a technical thing, whether that's like an internal, like, you know, something about you and your creative process. Like, what is the biggest lesson you've learned over the last year and a half working as a sports creative in the NCAA system?
Kind of what I touched on earlier. I think one of the biggest things that I have learned is take advantages of your opportunities. So not necessarily like, you know, stepping into like a producer role or whatever, if you're assigned a task, but more so if you're working with talented creatives, don't take it for granted and kind of do more than just say hi, like do more than just work together, like kind of figure out who they are and build those relationships. I think at the end of the day, building those relationships are so important. And still like I'm... two and a half years outside of Ryerson, I still talk to my old friends and ask them for advice. So, and I know that that's what's going to happen after I graduate at Florida and move on to my next journey. Like I'm still going to come back to these guys and girls and be like, hey, can you help me with this? Or can you help set this up? I think once you build those relationships and those good and meaningful connections, people are willing to fight for you, and that's well reciprocated. So that's the biggest thing that I've learned.
And I think keeping connections, not burning any bridges, is something people forget. It's just like, it's a small world. You're going to still know these people down the line. You're still going to run into people. For sure. I think like our friendship is a really good example of that. Even though, you know, I only got to know you for a year or two here, like we're still talking very frequently. When I was down in Florida, we got to hang out. And obviously, I'm sure whenever you come back up here, we'll find time to hang out. But I think a really good example, and I'm trying to find a way to segue into this, and this is just my way of doing it. texted you about a week ago, and I'm like, guys, what the fuck was that drone shot? And if you have, I'm gonna throw it up on the screen here. If you're listening to this on an audio platform, which this podcast will soon be coming to audio platforms, but just go look up the University of Florida Gators football, and you'll find the video. Essentially, the FPV drone to end all FPV drone shots in stadiums, in my opinion. Because I saw it, I've seen everyone else's, and people are on TikTok. And the reason I bring this up, because people on TikTok are giving me hell. So this is my time to like put my stake in the ground and be like, I know someone who worked on this. But I thought it was the best drone shot out of anything I've seen in sports so far, because of the way it brings you in to the swamp. Like I felt like I was there, but it's also like the pilot was so close to the people that you were like inches away. And I think that was a lot of like the discourse I was getting. It's just like, was it legal? Did they ask legal for permission? Did they just ask for forgiveness after? So I know you obviously weren't the pilot. I think I found out who the pilot was, but they worked with you guys. So yeah. Is there any insight you can give us on the process that Gators Creative took to make that a reality? Because in all actuality, and if anyone disagrees with me, like people on my TikTok comments are, that shit is risky. You're flying over people with a drone. It is not like, oh, oops, it fell on someone. Like it could seriously hurt someone. There are legal loopholes. So how did you guys go through the process of making sure you guys could do this? And like, what was it like? Did you guys do practice runs? What was the process of making that a reality? Because that was insane.
So one, I can't take any credit. This was all, I don't want to say all, but I think a lot of it behind it was Doug. And he is like, I think the director of creative for football and recruiting creative. So he set it all up. He has been working on this, and I know this as like an outsider, but still internal. He's been working on this for so long, and he's been in contact with this guy for so long, and it's been months of clearance and figuring out how to do everything legally. It is legal. everything's legal. Don't try this at home type of thing, but it's very legal. I think for us though, like, obviously, I can't take credit, but I'm a part of the team who kind of facilitated it. I think what made it is the swamp. Like, we wouldn't have gotten that shot if we weren't the swamp, and if we didn't have 90,000 fans, and if we didn't have the band and the production that we have. That shot was a really accurate representation of how it feels to be in the swamp. So I think it's nothing more than just a replication of what the swamp is. Like, if you haven't been to the swamp, you need to go to experience it, because that's literally how it feels. And I think, you know, these players can also look back on this footage and be like, wow, like that's what it's like running out of the tunnel and after you tap the gator and running out for a game day. So as much as it is such a cool shot, I really do think that the reason it is what it is because of the fans and because of the team.
And I think that's a really, really good way of looking at it, because to the average viewer, it's just a cool drone shot. And yes, it is. But I think, and I talk to people about this, it's like this, the whole point, content doesn't matter. Video, photo, it doesn't matter unless there's a purpose to it. Unless it's going to make you feel some kind of way, it's going to invoke some kind of emotion. If it doesn't do that, it's not really, it can be a really beautiful shot, but if it's not engaging you is another way, like, did we really do the job? And I think what you just mentioned is what I took away is like, when I saw that shot, I'm like, shit, like, I'm not just seeing this cool environment. You're bringing me into it. I'm feeling the energy. you know, hearing the crowd, seeing the fire, seeing flying, you know, the band, hearing the band. It's all an experience. It was truly like a visual experience of what it's like to be at a game from a very different perspective. And that's what I loved about it. And I think content these days, when it invokes those emotions of like wanting to run through a wall, you know, wanting to go see a game, like I want to go see a game at UF now, like after seeing that. So I think that's a really good way of looking at it. It's not just a cool shot, but it is also like an experience. And I think that's obviously something that like blew up overnight, not even overnight, within posting it. But I think it's also, I was saying, I said on my comments, I'm like, I guarantee you for the next 10 years, whatever video montage, big video that UF does, this is going to be in there because it's now just such a trademark of what it's like to be there. And that's why I loved it. And I also love the fact that you just cleared up that it was legal. So everyone on TikTok telling me it wasn't, I have proof here. Where were you? Did you see the drone? Were you on the
Yes.
Field? Yeah, okay.
When I ran out after the players, I could see it like flying. So it was crazy because we really didn't know what it was going to look like at the time. So that was like the one crazy thing. And I think the other crazy thing is you mentioned that it's going to be a part of montages and it's going to be a part of other videos going forward. We lost that game. And it doesn't like in the moment we're like, oh my God, like this was a full swamp. This was sold out. And we lost, like, and we have this drone that costs a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of, you know, and we lost, but it doesn't matter because in the moment it was just so epic and like no one's gonna look back and be like, oh, they lost that game.
I would have never known that you guys lost that game if I just saw the shot. It's just dope. As a creative team, what was your guys's like first reactions when you saw it, like when you saw the final video, like what were you guys like, what did you think when you saw it?
Oh, I shit my pants. Like, I thought that this was the coolest thing. Well, you have to think of it too. Like, I'm in my fourth year. Like, I have another year left, but I'm in my fourth year. I'm going to be able to look back at this video and be like, I was on the sideline. So for me personally, it was almost like, wow, this is a way that I can remember this feeling forever because it's so true to the feeling. And then I think from a creative side, it's like, oh my God, this is epic. Like, I think a few other teams had done it this season, but I had never seen it like how we did it. And that was just, again, a testament to the swamp itself. But also I think the drone guy just did an amazing job at piloting and making sure like he got everything and all the angles were like perfect. So I think it was just an epic experience all around. And just to be able to see it in real life was really cool too.
And I obviously, you guys posted that and probably looked like an hour later and you were like, holy shit, this is really taking off. But it's cool to get some insight on that because it was very much a viral moment, that a lot of people obviously admired, like everyone tweeted about it. Everyone was talking about it. So it was an incredible moment and you guys gave me my most viewed TikTok ever. So thank you for that. I got a lot of hate in the comments, but, maybe one of these clips go on, I will deter the haters.
All right. Thank you guys for putting up with the low quality Zoom audio and video. At this point, I go back, reset my camera, replace a battery. We took a quick break. And thankfully, for the rest of the episode, everything went as planned. So hope you guys have been enjoying it. Enjoy the last little bit of the episode here, and I'll catch you guys at the end. One more thing I want to talk to you about, and I think this is a big deal. Obviously, as a woman in sports, this is obviously a career path that isn't, you know, I don't want to say it's not easy to get into by any means, but I think the barriers to entry get a lot more difficult when, you know, you're a minority or a woman or both. Obviously, being a woman in sports is a completely different ordeal. That is something as a guy, as a man, I'll never obviously be able to understand. But I've heard a lot of things and obviously, you know, there's difficulties that people encounter. But, you know, why is it important to you as a woman to like be involved in this industry? And why is it important to you to kind of, you know, be able to also be an example for other women and girls who want to do what you're doing one day?
I'm a very persistent person. So if I want something, I'll get it. And I'm not really scared of anything that stands in my way. So I think being a woman in sports and getting into this industry, I wasn't necessarily scared, but I knew it would be a little bit more difficult in the sense that, you know, there are little things that we kind of have to worry about that men necessarily don't. So like, you know, we have to have a certain dress code. We have a certain boundary between us and the male players. You know, those types of things can create a little bit of difficulty, but I think as long as you're aware and you're doing it for you and the right reasons, you should have nothing in your way. So for me, I feel super lucky that I have, you know, women to look up to that have been in the game for longer than I have. And then I also feel grateful that I can be one of those girls for the younger generation coming up, because as you see, like, more and more women in sports, it's just like normal. Like, it's not really, I remember like my first year of university, there was such an emphasis on being a woman in sports and how difficult it is, and you know, all of those things. And while that still remains true, I feel like now it's more normal. And as we treat it as such, it will be normal.
So I think that's a really important part, is like, you have to treat it as such. You can't just, you know, point it out as something that isn't. Like, you have to act like it is normal now, for sure. I agree with you.
For me, and I'm a religious person, I'm Christian, but for me, I'm like, in every room I walk into, I walk in like God sent me there. And I feel like if you just know your purpose and know your passions and why you're there, then, you know, everything will work out.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you would want to say to, you know, the little girls out there, whether, I don't know how old people would be when they decide they want to get into this, but like, to any woman or girl who may be struggling with, you know, thinking about getting into this industry or worried about, you know, being in a male dominated industry, you know, what is something you would say to them to encourage them just to fucking try it and do it and, you know, take that leap? Because obviously it's a very intimidating field, for different reasons for different people. So what would you say to those people who are maybe, you know, those women who maybe aren't sure if they want to work in sports or not, but, you know, definitely want to give it a go, but are just worried? What would you say to them?
I would say you got to put the blinders on and silence the noise. That's like my biggest piece of advice for anything that you're kind of fearful of doing. And I feel like I'm pretty good at, you know, canceling out whatever is distracting me. So I never really felt that pressure in this industry to like live up to men, or, you know, felt scared of talking to them or approaching them. But if I were to be talking to someone who is, I would just say they're just like you. Same thing with the athletes. They're just like you. They're all people. And just like you're there for a reason, so are they. So if you just focus on yourself and remain motivated, self-motivated, then that grind is just going to keep going. We're in this crossover, I would say like a crossover generation of things are becoming more diverse and it's becoming normal, which I'm so excited about. And I'm excited to see what other people are going to start creating and doing in this arena. But the reason trailblazers are trailblazers are because they weren't scared of what other people were going to say or think.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that idea of like kind of going in there with no fear and not, you know, worrying about what people are going to say. And again, I'm not a woman, so I don't relate to that. But like for me, like, I'm Latino working in hockey. It's not necessarily like, you know, my people's cup of tea. My grandparents don't know what it is. My family, you know, my mom barely understands the sports, and I've been in it for years now. But it is like that whole, like, you know, I'm in a room with a lot of people I don't relate to, but I just have to show them that I'm there for the same reasons they are, and just putting my head down and not being scared. And I love that message of like, just go out and do it and don't be scared. Put the blinders on and silence the noise. I think that's a really good message to send out. One more question I want to ask you. Two more questions.
Okay.
I thought of two more questions. Number one, what is, and I'm asking this to everyone, what is the best piece of advice you would give to someone who's just starting out in the sports creator world? What is the number one thing you would tell them that you think would help somebody who's just starting off or doesn't really know where to get started? What's the one piece of advice you would give?
It's so cliche, but I would say to take risks. We talked about the sacrifices that I've made to be in the sports industry and kind of pursue my goals and my dreams. But also I would say to apply that to every aspect of your life. Obviously I took a risk to expand my horizons and move to a different country. So now I have that experience under my belt. That's such a transferable skill that I've taken, you know, with me everywhere. And then going from there to a school all the way down south, which is just a completely different ball game. I think that without me having the confidence to do that and trusting myself that I'll be able to make it, I'll be able to make new friends. I'll be able to find my way around this new city. I'll be able to make new friendships and relationships with the team I'm working for. Without that confidence, it just wouldn't have worked. So I would say take risks, but have confidence in yourself. I think confidence is key, and you know, act confident and no one's going to judge you.
Kind of fake it till you make it, like, show, like, just act like you've been there before. And I love that, because, like, I think the taking risks and acting like that's something I've always done. I've always taken a risk to get to where I am today. And I've always just, when I get to a new place, I'm like, I've been here. I know what I'm doing. Yeah. So I love both of those pieces of advice. I would definitely echo them. So before we wrap up, where are we going to find Alyssa in the next 5 years? What is your goal? I'm a big, like, manifesting kind of guy. Yeah, I love the idea of speaking things into existence. It has worked for me. You know, people may think, oh, it's a load of whatever. It's worked for me. I've said shit. I'm coming to existence. I'm doing it right now. Where do you want to find yourself in 5 years, you know, down the line? What's your dream job? Where do you want to be next after this journey here with the UF Gators?
Yeah. So it's actually funny, because I was on one of my friends' podcasts maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, and they asked a similar question, and I'm coming up on that.
Way different answer now.
Yeah, way different. Like, I would say, like, I probably would have said, you know, I don't really know yet. And that's kind of where I am right now. I am so excited about my future, because I am so excited about what I'm learning about. And I love everything I touch. And I'm grateful that that's kind of the mindset that I'm in and that I'm able to apply to my life. I would say you're definitely going to find me on a field or in a rink, maybe. I don't know if going pro is like the dream right now, because I love college athletics. I think there's something so special about it. But you'll definitely find me somewhere that there is sports. So that is all I can say right now.
All right. No, I love it. You're leaving it up for ambiguity and for you people to kind of wait and see. I love that. More importantly, where can the people find you right now on social media? This is your moment to plug yourself. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, whatever you want. Where can the people follow you?
Okay, so I post most of my work and retweet all my work from Gators football on my Twitter, which is Alyssa H. Morrison. My Instagram is _AlyssMorrison. My TikTok is SpicyWasian. Shout out Taylor for being spicy. And then you can also find me on YouTube at Alyssa Morrison.
You got to get the vlogs back up. I watch them. I'm a fan. You got to keep pumping them out. You got to keep doing it.
I'm going to vlog Nashville this weekend. So when we travel to Vandy, when we beat Vandy, mark my words, this vlog is going to be epic.
Yes, I'm pushing more people in Sports Creative. Like, get the fuck on YouTube, because what you do is super cool. And I'm going to say this to you. And Taylor said this to me in episode 2 of the podcast, and it has always stuck with me. You get to do something and experience something that like 0.1% of the population gets to do. And that is like be in these stadiums, be in these arenas. No one gets to do this. If you take the opportunity to showcase it through YouTube, TikTok, people will watch, and people will like, they'll be good to come from that. So definitely vlog that. And then I'm very much looking forward to it. And maybe when I'm in Florida for the All-Star game later this year, we'll maybe do a part 2 of this, or maybe I'll go on your channel. We'll figure that out. But that is it for episode 5, I'm going to go with. And if I'm wrong, just roast me in the comments. Everything where you can find Alyssa will be down below. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you taking the time. Any final words from UF's greatest?
Yeah. Go Gators.
All right. Thanks guys for watching. Peace.
And that does it for episode 5 of the Sports Creative Showcase. Huge shout out for Alyssa coming onto the show, taking the time out of your day to be on it. I loved having you on. Your energy was infectious, and hopefully you guys learned a thing or two from a very up and coming creative with a lot of talent and a lot of personality to go with it. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating and a review. Let me know what you think of the show. I would really, really appreciate that. And as always, I will catch you guys in the next episode. Take it easy, folks.